This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, September 4th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. EPA Region 9 chief resigns. Legislature condemns immigration raids. CDFA webinar on regulatory alignment and farm earnings all over the place. EPA Region 9 chief resigned months into the job. With less than 6 months on the post, Josh Cook has stepped down as EPA administrator for Region 9. Cook plans to pursue new work with tribal communities on sustainable forest and watershed management practices. Speaking at the Western Plant Health Regulatory Conference in Sacramento last month, Cook highlighted a flurry of early activity at EPA since his appointment, including a dramatic reduction in pesticide registration backlogs. At the start of the administration, he said the agency was sitting on 14,000 pesticide permit applications. That number is down to 4,000, thanks in part to the addition of 60 new staff and an internal reorganization. Legislature passes resolution condemning immigration raids. In a show of solidarity with immigrant communities, the legislature has passed Senate Joint Resolution 9 denouncing federal immigration raids as militarized, unjust, and terrorizing. Authored by Senator Maria Elena Durazo of Los Angeles, SJR 9 sharply condemns mass raids targeting immigrant workers and families, some carried out with unmarked armored vehicles, street blockages, and troops, operations that lawmakers say instill fear and violate constitutional protections. Supporters, including immigrant rights group and farm worker rights icon Dolores Huerta, praise the resolution as a moral and legal stance affirming safety, due process, and dignity for all residents regardless of immigration status. Lawmakers warn that militarized raids in farm communities not only devastate families but also threaten the stability of the state's food supply chain. CDFA to host webinar on regulatory alignment. CDFA, in collaboration with Cal EPA, the State Water Board, will host a webinar September 15th that to review Crow LLP's policy recommendations following its regulatory alignment study. The consulting firm has outlined ways to streamline overlapping food safety and water quality regulations, improve data sharing among agencies, and create clearer, more efficient compliance pathways for farmers and ranchers. Public feedback on the draft may be submitted until October 15th. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. There's a wide variation in farm earnings for 2025. USDA is out with its new farm income forecast. The department estimates average earnings for farm businesses will rise by 12% this year to $127,000 per operation. But that average income, which includes government payments as well as commodity sales, does mask a lot of variation between types of farms. Corn farms expected to have average earnings of just over $158,000. That's down 13% from last year. Net cash income is expected to average $123,700 for wheat farms. That's even with 2024. $99,100 for soybean farms, down 12%. $59,300 for cotton farms, a 660% increase. $303,500 for specialty crops, a 2% increase. Dairy operations expected to average 585,800, a 14% increase from 2024. Hog farms projected at 428,200, up 21%. Poultry operations just shy of 228,000, up 30%. Cattle operations at $71,300, up 71%. Now keep in mind, net cash farm income includes receipts from farming as well as cash farm-related income, including government payments minus cash expenses. The farm debt-to-asset and debt-to-equity ratios expected to remain stable but still above their 2015 to 2024 average. Grassley, farm aid possible in year-end spending bill. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa says it's looking more likely that farmers will need a new round of emergency assistance at the end of the year. He said and spoke with reporters yesterday saying, "I would have to say within the last month, the word that I'm getting from bankers and from farmers is that there's going to be tremendous stress as a result of the low prices now, and I think it's going to hit a crescendo where we'll end up being some help." Keep in mind, House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania told AgriPulse this week he's looking at funding the aid from tariff revenue. Payments that result from changes made by the One Big Beautiful Bill won't reach farmers until the fall of 2026. A big reason that farm income overall is higher this year is because USDA estimates that direct government payments to producers will be at $40.5 billion, a $30.4 billion increase from last year. That would be the largest amount since the pandemic year of 2020. The forecast doesn't include changes to commodity programs made by the One Big Beautiful Bill enacted in July. Farmers, again, don't see those until next year. European farm sector worried about EU Mercosur deal. European farm groups continue to oppose a trade deal between the European Union and South American Mercosur trading bloc. The EU is pressuring the agreement to member states for approval. Late in the process, the two sides agreed to, quote, a bilateral safeguard mechanism that would allow either side to impose temporary measures to protect domestic industries in the event they are threatened by a flood of imports. But the EU Farmer Coalition, COPA COGECA, says it's not clear how the safeguard mechanism would work. The European Commission may insist it has listened to farmers, but facts indicate clearly that EU agriculture continues to be treated as a bargaining chip in trade negotiations, a press release from the group said. The Commission said in a press release that the deal, quote, provides full and comprehensive protection for EU agriculture, in part by limiting agri-food imports to, quote, a fraction of EU production. Broadband providers ask lawmakers for faster permitting. Quicker permitting is needed to speed up rural broadband deployment, telecommunications industry members told House lawmakers yesterday. Testifying at a House Small Business Committee hearing, Christy Westbrook, CEO of Consolidated Telephone Company and Brainerd, Minnesota, said, quote, "Roadblocks, delays, and increased cost associated with permitting and approval processes are particularly problematic for providers of service in rural areas. The process can, quote, take substantial amounts of time," she said. Jimmy Todd, CEO of Lenora, Kansas-based Next Tech, agreed, saying, quote, "While there are plenty of success stories, small businesses and cooperatives still face burdensome permitting processes that delay bills and discourage investment. Congress can help by streamlining these processes so providers can deploy fiber faster and more efficiently," Todd said. Here's today's final word. Insane. I'm on it. That USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins responding to PG&E's plans to remove Potter Valley dams. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, September 4th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.